Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to Gesundheit with Jacobus. We are at the halfway point, and I cannot believe it because just an hour and a half with Dr. Mary Newport has flown by. What a great information. I'm sitting over here taking notes. I hope some of you are taking notes as well, because there's a lot of different terminology coming your way, and about ketones and ketogenic diets, etc., etc. So her book called The Complete Book of Ketones, based on all the research that she has done up to this point, even the book just came out less than 2 months ago. And as she mentioned earlier, new information came out while she was getting it ready to go to the press. And she said, stop the press. We got to put this in because it is so important. Now, Dr. Mary Newport is available. You can go to her website. It's coconutketones.com, coconutketones.com. And if you go to Facebook, if you like that, there's lots of information from her over there as well. It's called one word, facebook.com, and then / one word, coconut oil and Alzheimer's. Coconut oil and Alzheimer's. And you can find more up-to-date information. Dr. Mary Newport wrote 3 books. The first one came out after she had dealt with her own husband being diagnosed with Alzheimer's and early stages back in 2008. And he was, very, very sad how all this works. But the book is called Alzheimer's, What If There Was a Cure? And that talks about her own experimentation with coconut oil. The Coconut Oil and Low Carb Solution was her second book, and that gives you more insight about ketones and MCTs and what it all means and recipes and how you can work with it. And then the last book came out, The Complete Book of Ketones, for those of you who say, okay, I really want to understand how this works and what exactly is going on. What do I need to learn? What do I need to understand here? So The Complete Book of Ketones, it's available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble. There is one that's called Books a Million Stores. We do not have that in this neck of the wood. And most book websites. It's also available on Kindle and other ebook versions. I really, really appreciate you are with us, Dr. Mary Newport. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Jacobus.
Actually, it's afternoon where you are.
Yeah, it is afternoon where I am. Almost afternoon where I am.
Yeah, almost afternoon. That's right. Now, we have a caller patiently waiting. He called up. I had to hang up because of background noise. Let's get him on. This is Chris. Good morning, Chris. Thanks for joining the show.
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. So, my question, as I kind of tell him, Jacobus, is I'm confused, but back in the 70s, they talked about when you'd weightlift and work out, the idea is get your percentage of body weight down, and you can do that quickly, but you don't want to do it for more than 30 days. What we were saying back in those days is a ketosis state, which was a low carb diet, but it was never talked about the different types of fats and what have you. It was basically eat 15 grams or less of carbohydrates per day and try to get your body in ketosis, and then you'd have to find out by using keto strips you get from your pharmacy. And, and I see the stuff that they're saying nowadays, as seen on TV, but it basically only contains magnesium, blends of hydrobutyrate, and that same name that I can't pronounce, calcium beta and sodium beta. And it says proprietary blend, and so it really doesn't explain to you on how to, it's like, oh, you can just take 2 of these capsules, you can lose weight, and to me it's just a scam.
I think you're might be talking about ketone salts. Does it have beta hydroxybutyrate, does it say calcium?
Right.
Okay, so these have been out on the market for about 3 years. And there's different blends, there's different qualities of these out there. So these were developed at University of South Florida, near me in Tampa, Florida, a research lab that is studying ketogenic diets and ketosis and ketone supplements for a variety of conditions, including Alzheimer's, epilepsy, oxygen toxicity, cancer. They're studying this. They have many, many different PhDs and PhD students studying this in their lab, and they develop these ketone salts. And the interesting thing about them is that these are the first supplements available on the market that contain the actual ketone that you make in your body from fat called beta-hydroxybutyrate. And so you can temporarily increase the ketones in your blood for several hours by taking these what they call exogenous ketone supplements. There are also ketone esters, one of them developed by Dr. Richard Veach, two companies that are now selling his product in the last year that's available to the public that also is beta-hydroxybutyrate. So instead of having to make it in your body, you can actually take it as a supplement and get into ketosis regardless of what you're eating. Now, it's probably wiser to, you know, eat a healthy diet along with that and not eat excessive sugar, eat maybe lower carb and other healthy fats as well, you know, but it is possible, and it's very geared towards fitness and bodybuilding, and many people report losing fat. But, you know, other people are reporting interesting benefits such as increased mental clarity and improved memory. They're sleeping better. They feel their mood is better. Ketones are anti-inflammatory. We talked about that earlier on the program. And so, you know, some people have aches and pains or other things that may be related to inflammation that they see a decrease in those problems, you know. So it's a very interesting new product that's available out there. If it's in a tiny capsule, it's probably not it, or it's not the right amount. It's, you usually have to take at least 5 grams of beta-hydroxybutyrate. Some of the products have 8 or 10 grams of it to get into reasonable ketosis. So you just have to watch out and try to learn, you know, what are the quality products that are out there.
Wow. Yeah, I do know that we have some of them available at the store with, I think the abbreviation is BHB, right? Beta-hydroxybutyrate.
Right, BHB. Yeah. So some products contain more than others. And some, you know, a couple of the companies have tried very hard to reduce the sodium in the product. You know, they tend to be very high in sodium. So if somebody, say, they have high blood pressure related to sodium, that might not be for them. Or they need to factor it in, you know, and maybe look for, you know, the product made that is lowest in sodium.
So that would we have that would use more like a magnesium or potassium or calcium as a salt.
Yeah. And when you're in ketosis, you tend to lose water in the beginning, and you lose those minerals, all 4 of those minerals, with the water that we lose. So, you know, having a product that has all 4, you know, sodium, calcium, potassium, magnesium could be beneficial, you know, as far as helping to counteract some of that mineral loss, you know, when you're going into ketosis.
Does this help, Chris?
Yeah, it does. And which book that you said is like that Barnes & Noble, which one is that?
Her latest book.
It's really hard to remember all this stuff.
Okay, the name of the doctor is Dr. Mary T. Newport. Mary T. Newport, medical doctor. Mm-hmm.
And, okay.
And the book is called... The Complete Book of Ketones.
Yeah, The Complete Book of Ketones.
Yeah, okay. And exercise. You mentioned exercise, and exercise actually stimulates ketone production as well. They learned this in the 1930s, and it was studied very intensively for about 20 or 30 years. It's called post-exercise ketosis.
Okay.
And there's research in Canada, Dr. Stephen Cunane, who's been doing ketone PET and glucose PET research on people with Alzheimer's, and he found people with Alzheimer's that walk for 40 minutes 3 times a week, they have found that this triples the amount of ketone uptake in the brain as energy. And when you exercise, it increases the ketones in your blood, and then they're taken up by the brain. They've been able to document this increase in ketones and all these earlier studies, too, in the 1930s or so. But if you eat a high-carbohydrate meal before you exercise, you don't go into ketosis. Yeah. So you need to watch carbs before you exercise, you know, if you want to get into ketosis.
What's that, Chris?
It also stimulates something called BDNF in the brain. Exercise does. is, you know, the benefits, you know, from exercise are attributed to BDNF. It stimulates neuron growth, you know, new neurons.
Okay.
Another good reason to exercise.
All right, Chris.
Okay.
We're going to let you go.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I think I exercise during the week. It's weird because I'm either sitting on my butt or I'm exercising. And but that's why I got today and tomorrow off.
All right.
It does wear you out.
It does.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Chris. Bye-bye. All right. Now, very interesting. Now, does the research show that cardiovascular exercise is better than resistance exercise, or both will stimulate the production of ketones?
The aerobic kind of exercise tends to stimulate ketosis. But, you know, there's certainly other good benefits to doing strength training. You know, one of the things, you know, ketones help preserve muscle mass. This is another thing that they do, which is very interesting. And being in ketosis, like a lot of people, you know, when they lose weight, if they're kind of on a traditional weight loss diet,
yes,
that tends to often be higher in carb and lower in fat, they tend to lose muscle because they're breaking down muscle to try to make up for the calories that they're not eating.
Yes.
And so they'll lose muscle mass. But when you do a ketogenic diet or a very low carb, higher fat diet, you shift over to using your fat as fuel and you burn more fat and it tends to preserve the muscle.
Yes.
And the ketones directly also help preserve muscle. So if you combine that with strength training, you can actually possibly come out of it with equal or more muscle than where you started out.
Well, that's
if you do
interesting.
A ketogenic kind of a diet.
Yeah, because I have thought that you need your amino acids, you need your proteins to help rebuild the muscle that you lose. And you're not against protein, but you are saying in a more ketogenic type diet, you increase your calories from fat, specifically the good fats, and then it's moderate protein. What would moderate protein be? Let's say somebody is 150 pounds and exercises. What would you then recommend? Let's say, and they say my ideal weight is 150 pounds. Would you say go half your ideal weight in grams of protein, or do you say higher than that, 75%? Mm-hmm. What do you say?
Yeah. A lot depends on, I think, how intense the exercise is, but for the average person, half of what your body weight is in grams is about right.
Okay.
Maybe slightly less than that, like the recommended daily allowance, you know, from the government is that you get 0.4 grams per pound that you weigh, which is slightly less than half, you know, so 70 or 75. If you're exercising, you may want to get more than that. If you're a bodybuilder and really in the gym a lot, you know, intensively working, you could double the protein easily and to help, you know, preserve and build muscle. If, you know, one of the things about protein is if you eat too much of it and you don't need it, you'll convert some of that to sugar.
Yes. Now that makes total sense. So because I'm still telling people that if you're not exercising, so that could also be somebody who is in a wheelchair who cannot do cardiovascular exercise or, you know, they still need protein. You still need to nourish it with amino acids.
Definitely.
And I say people who have no time to exercise or don't have desire to exercise, you take your ideal weight. So if somebody says they're 180 pounds, but they know their ideal weight is more like 150, I say you go within 150 and then you do 50% of that, which is 75 grams of protein per day. But if you start exercising 2 to 4 times a week, you are now driving the vehicle slightly uphill, 5-6% incline. So you're burning more. You need to replenish it with clean protein. So now you go more to a 75% of your ideal weight, not your weight that you're at, but where you want to be at. So
yeah,
we're in agreement. Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Well, then I don't feel so bad because I was being told, you tell people to eat too much protein. I said, no, we go by ideal weight and activity level. Okay, well, this is very interesting. Now, and I want to remind our listeners, Dr. Mary Newport, my guest, she is talking about ketones and ketogenic diets, etc. She is explaining it to us. In the last half hour, we were talking about the MCTs because there is confusion about lauric acid, capric acid, and caprylic acid. These are names that you find on the bottles. Turn the bottle over of coconut oil, and you say MCTs such as lauric, capric, and caprylic. Now, over the years, we have seen a change whereby the lauric acid has been removed, and there is the capric and the caprylic acid. And now there is even a company that only suggests caprylic acid, or C8, the carbon 8, 8 carbons in there. And so she is explaining to us that the lauric acid that is a little bit vilified, I would say, actually has great properties. You mentioned that the caprylic acid probably increases the ketones more than the other two, but the lauric acid, let's talk a little bit about lauric acid. I always thought that that was the one that gives the flavor to the coconut, but that's not maybe true. I don't know.
Well, it's half of the coconut. It's half of coconut oil. So it's a major component of it. They'll call coconut a lauric oil because it's so heavy in lauric acid. But, you know, we mentioned in the last half hour that lauric acid, there's a group in Japan that has shown that it stimulates ketone production directly in these brain cells that are called astrocytes, A-S-T-R-O-C-Y-T-E-S.
Yeah.
And astrocytes nourish other brain cells. So it looks like it may stimulate ketone production directly in the brain. They're still working on that to prove that it happens in living creatures.
Okay.
But the other very interesting thing about lauric acid, an important thing, is that it's very antimicrobial. It's the most antimicrobial of the medium chain fats, of all of the fats. Capric acid is a close second. That's C10.
Okay.
So it kills numerous types of viruses, like herpes simplex virus. It causes fever blisters. There's a whole slew of different types of herpes viruses. HIV virus, it kills numerous different types of bacteria and fungus like candida, protozoa.
Oh,
and
wow.
The interesting thing, well, it kills the bacteria that cause dental cavities.
Okay.
For example, and it kills the bacteria that cause acne on the face. So it's used in many skin products, you know, because of that property. You know, it's a great moisturizer for one thing.
Yes.
Coconut oil is.
Yes, it is.
But the lauric acid, you know, is it's great, you know, for the skin. And so that's why you see it in so many skin products. But it's used in all kinds of applications in veterinary medicine. In the medical industry, lauric acid is used for its antimicrobial properties. And, you know, the reason that's important for Alzheimer's possibly and other neuro diseases is that there is more and more evidence accumulating that microorganisms may be involved, contribute to the development of Alzheimer's, possibly even cause it, and some of these other neurodegenerative diseases like Parkinson's.
And
so lauric acid could potentially help control that, you know, like herpes simplex virus from fever blisters. People of a certain genetic type that are at risk for Alzheimer's have a much higher rate of having these recurrent fever blisters on their mouth. And, you know, those viruses live in the nerves. These nerves start deep in your brain, right in the area where Alzheimer's starts. And there are more than 100 studies of herpes simplex implicating it as a possible cause of Alzheimer's disease. So if you can control that infection, you know, you may be able to avoid getting Alzheimer's disease, you know, if that's the trigger. You know, I think there are many different triggers for Alzheimer's, you know, that have similar symptoms, but, you know, infections are implicated. Other ones are candida, chlamydia, Lyme's disease, which a spirochete. Syphilis is a spirochete and is well known to cause dementia. Lyme's is also a spirochete, and people that are treated for Lyme's disease often have a reversal of their symptoms. They get back to normal with the memory impairment and other symptoms they may have.
That's a powerful statement. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I was not aware of that. Wow.
Yeah. It hasn't had enough awareness out there, but it's starting to come along. You know, in Alzheimer's, one of the key pathologies in the brain is that there are plaques and tangles.
Yes.
And they have found the substances that forms the plaques is actually an antimicrobial substance. It's part of the immune system. It responds to and engulfs bacteria and viruses. They find all kinds of bacteria and viruses in these plaques.
Yes.
And heavy metals they find in these plaques.
Oh,
and
wow.
It's a very kind of primitive substance that is secreted by neurons and seems to possibly be involved with trying to control these infections. And it could be that people with Alzheimer's have more of these microorganisms in their brain, and that's why they have more plaque, you know. And then when they, if there's inflammation in the brain too, then they're more likely to develop the tangles and more likely to develop Alzheimer's. So
yes.
If you can control inflammation in the brain, that can go a long way to preventing or controlling, maybe slowing down the Alzheimer's.
Yes, and then that's why we also need to talk. I know we're coming close again to the end of the hour
yeah.
here. But when you look indeed at the fact that the brain usually in society today uses more sugar than any other organ in the body all the time because we're so busy. Many people are just type A personalities. The brain is always going 100 miles an hour and the body can mm-hmm. simply not follow it. And in order to keep resupplying the brain, we just eat anything that is a sugar or a carbohydrate because as soon as it hits our tongue, we already can tell, okay, we're back. Our mind is working better. We can focus mm-hmm. and concentrate. But at
yeah.
the same time, we're not nourishing the body, the part that is below the neck. We're simply not mm-hmm. nourishing it enough because that would take an hour and a half, 2 hours before mm-hmm. food makes it into the cells. But
yeah.
one thing that I would also like to talk to you about when we come back is the effect of statin drugs on Alzheimer's and dementia. I have mm-hmm. said before to people that some of the research that I read that was published back in 2004, I think it was MIT who published that, that they say that when you look at statin drugs, liver produces cholesterol. Cholesterol is involved in the production of hormones. And the very first hormone that cholesterol makes is called pregnenolone. And pregnenolone seems to be the missing link in many people who have Alzheimer's, especially those who have Alzheimer's and are on statin drugs. Have you heard about that?
Yes. Yeah. Cholesterol has been villainized. This is another problem.
I know.
Cholesterol in every single cell membrane is part of it's part of the structure of the cell, and it's extremely important in the brain. It's a support structure. It's also needed at every single connection between the nerves to allow the stimulus from one nerve to transmit to another nerve. It's
okay.
needed at every synapse, it's
yes.
called, you know, where the neurons join.
Yeah.
And, you know, the problem with statins, certain ones, is that they remove cholesterol from the brain. They're lipid soluble, they get into the brain, and they can remove cholesterol from the brain. And cholesterol also is, as you say, the precursor to many different hormones, all of the sex hormones, and, you know, other very important hormones in
yes.
our body.
Dr. Newport,
why do we want to reduce that?
Yeah, this is a topic I would like to continue with when we come back.
Okay.
We have another hard break coming up. I really thank you for being with us and for being for another hour. Folks, there's so much to talk about with Dr. May Newport. The book is called The Complete Book of Ketones. We're going to take a short break. Hopefully you stay with us all the way. We'll be right back.
Integrative Medicine, the future of healthcare. Every Saturday morning, right here from 8 to 11 a.m.